Good morning to Pelosmos Saigon. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Today, I want to share a message. We shouldn't be surprised to see God healing power today. This Bible, with so much belief, is not a history book. Holy men, prophets in the olden generation, heard from God directly in their heart, the living word of God. And they wrote it in scrolls and hand over this legacy to us in our generation today. God is whom we say he is. God has what he says he has. When we look at the Bible in the light of God's word, we realize God created man for a purpose. What's the purpose? Relationship. We are created for the glory of God. What's the basis, the foundation of any true relationship with God? The scripture says right in the book of Genesis, when you read that God created heaven and earth, he's not a God of emptiness. He's not a God of darkness. He's a God of light, filled with blessing and filled with life. If I have to describe God in one word, I would say life. He's a God of life, not a God of death. He has put before man right from the beginning, life and death, and said, man, choose life. Choose blessing. And Jesus came with the same word. He said, I am the bread of life. Number two, I am the light of life, the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And much more, I am the resurrection and the life. He said to everybody, I am the vine, you are the branches. Jesus came to offer life, a general offer of life, eternal life, a life that is full and free to every person who believes. The purpose of God in creating man is to make man one with a difference. A man who is destined to be in union with God, in unity with God, to walk with God, to plan with God, to think with God, and to relate with God in spirit and in truth. But sin has destroyed the relationship. That is why God doesn't like sin, because sin destroys our life. God hates, rejects sin, but loves the sinner. We need to understand the difference between the two. Why? Why God rejects sin? Because sin destroys human being, destroys human life. We realize when you see lots of people were delivered from what? From the power of darkness, from the power of Satan, from evil spirit. Satan has no power on you as long as you have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He operates through sin. He destroys through sin. He kills, steals, and destroys through sin. And sin gave him a foothold to enter and to begin to destroy. Now, glory be to God, God made a promise that one day a seed of a woman will come, a Messiah will come, a Savior will come that will deliver us and break the yoke of sin and Satan and set human beings free and restore an intimate relationship between God and man. When Jesus says, God is spirit, what's the meaning of that? If God is spirit, means God's dimension is not in the natural, it's in the spirit. God is the spirit living in the spirit. And we human beings, we are here in the natural. So how can the natural and the spirit have a communication in spirit and truth? And the Bible says, the bridge from the natural to the spiritual is called faith. 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 And that's our message today. Faith in who? Faith in God. The faith we are talking about today is not what we call faith in faith. Not faith in man. Not faith in institution. Not faith in man's ability. But faith in God. Have faith in God. That faith we call divine faith. Divine faith rules, regulates, governs the relationship between humans and God in spirit and in truth. It says, it is possible for a human being to communicate with the invisible God, to hear his word, and to walk in the light of his countenance, relating with God every single day, as it was before the fall in the book of Genesis. I'm talking about divine faith. When Jesus Christ came on this earth, what did he say to everybody? Right from Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. He said, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be given to you. The kingdom of God, the living presence of God in the midst of his people right here on earth, that's what the Christ of God has come to proclaim and to fulfill. Jesus came here in the appearance of a human being. But Jesus revealed God as his Father. And Jesus taught us what is necessary and essential that we should worship God in spirit and in truth. Remember his conversation with the Samaritan woman. If you know who is talking to you in John chapter 4 verse 10, and what is the gift of God, you would have asked me and I would have given you living waters. Living waters, the woman said. Jesus said, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. He who drinks the water I give him will never thirst. The water I will give him become streams of living waters welling up to everlasting life. That's what Jesus said to the woman. Jesus has come to bring a revelation of God, the integrity of the revelation of God and restoration of that relationship, intimacy with God in spirit and in truth, means it is possible to hear from God, to see God. How? Nicodemus came and said to Jesus, Rabbi, no man can do the miracles you do except God is with him. Jesus said to him, verily, verily, I say to you, Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a man is born again, the teacher of the law, the specialist of the law, was stunned by the words of Jesus and said to him, how is it possible that an old man like me can enter his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus said, you are a teacher and you don't know these things. I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. And that's the key, essential promise of the gospel of Jesus, to be born again. What's the meaning of that? Regeneration, recreated spirit, a new creation in Christ Jesus, a new lifestyle of faith, positive faith. God said, Romans chapter 1, verse 17, my righteous shall live by faith. That's the purpose of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. To seek the kingdom of God is to seek the King, is to seek Jesus, to seek God, the Holy Spirit. Everlasting life. To seek righteousness is to embrace God's kind of life, positive faith. That's what Jesus came to build. That's what Jesus came to proclaim. That's what Jesus came to fulfill. Now, when we talk about divine faith, when Jesus came, he began to say things that nobody has ever spoken. He began to do things nobody has ever done. When Jesus came at the graveside of Lazarus in John chapter 11, something special happened. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus came and gave instruction that the stone should be rolled. And he said to Martha, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Jesus said, if you believe, your brother will live again. Resurrect. Resurrection of the dead. It is something to the human mind, an impossibility. It is something incredible, something that nobody can accept. Human thinking cannot reason, cannot accept resurrection. What's the meaning of that? She said to Jesus, I know my brother will rise at the last day. Jesus said to her, if you believe now, Jesus was saying now, not at the last day. When Jesus instructed the stone to be removed, Jesus first gave thanks to the Father. What was on the ground, the body has started decomposing in the grave behind the stone in the secret place. But Jesus was seeing what nobody could see. Jesus said what no man has ever said, John chapter 7, verse 46. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who was dead for 4 days, came back alive, completely restored, completely healed. The faith Jesus expressed that day in the Father, we call absolute faith. We call it divine faith. What is divine faith? Divine faith is a special faith. Faith in God, faith from God, and faith of God. I repeat. Divine faith is faith in God, faith of God, and faith from God. I explain. Faith in God means faith in God's ability to fulfill what he promised to do. Faith in God's unlimited resources that God has, what he says he has. A faith in God's sufficiency alone. May God is sufficient to himself. He doesn't need the help of anyone. Faith in God is absolute faith in God's promises, in God's ability, in his sufficiency to fulfill what he promised to do in your life. Jesus believed that God has the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew. And he said, Father, I thank you for you always hear me. Number two, Jesus sent forth the word. Lazarus, come forth. Don't forget what we believe. By a word, the world came into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. Let there be a firmament, and it was so. Whatever God said, declared, came into existence by the living word of God. When God said, let there be light, God never relied on any material things. He spoke, and the things that were not came into being by the word of God. That's God for you. He expressed absolute faith in himself. When Moses asked him, who are you? He said, I am who I am, the all-sufficient God. When you have faith in God, you will believe in God's unlimited resources. You believe in God's possibility able to raise the dead. When God instructed Abraham, go, take your only son and offer him to me a sacrifice in one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. Abraham stepped in faith, absolute faith in God, never doubted, obeyed. The scripture says Abraham believed that even if he had to sacrifice his son, that God has the capacity to raise him from the dead. When Jesus went to the cross, his absolute faith in the Father's will, he walked toward the cross in Jerusalem, knowing what was waiting for him. And three times he told his disciples, go read Matthew 16, Matthew 17, and 20. He said, I'm going to Jerusalem. They will arrest me. They will spit on me. They will kill me. On the third day, I will rise. Jesus expressed absolute faith in the Father's ability to raise him from the dead. As David said in Psalm 16, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. So when Jesus gave thanks to the Father, he sent forth the word of faith and Lazarus came back to life. When Jesus was multiplying the bread, the five loaves and the two fish, he gave thanks to the Father and prayed and the miracle took place. We call divine faith. All the miracles we saw in the Holy Bible through the heroes of faith took place because of divine faith. So I say faith in God. Number two, faith from God. It means that faith is a gift from God. It originates from God. It's part of the divine nature of God. It's a spiritual force. That faith comes from God, is wrought by the Holy Ghost in your life. It is supernatural faith. Let me take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. Divine faith. It says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also today believe and therefore speak. This means the word of faith is in my heart as in my mouth, the power of the spoken word. The apostles of old, they believed. They saw the resurrection and they witnessed to Christ and they spoke. Miracle took place. With the same spirit of faith as the apostle of old, we still believe the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why we pray. Because the Son of God says, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. But greater than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. Which kind of works? Works of prayer. whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so the Father be glorified in the Son. Whatever you ask, I will do. That's what Jesus said. Ask and you will receive works of prayer. So divine faith, when it is expressed in prayer, in the power of the Holy Ghost, has a divine force of God behind it for its fulfillment. When the word of faith is released in the power of the Holy Spirit, divine forces will be set from heaven for the fulfillment of that word. It will never return void to God. Isaiah 55, verse 7 to verse 11. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent forth his word and they were healed. Jesus spoke and Lazarus came back to life. That's the word of life. Divine faith you're talking about. It came from God. It's a gift from God. It's part of the divine nature of God. Absolute faith in God himself. We call it faith of God. Why? That's the kind of faith God expressed in himself. So anytime a servant of God or a woman of faith and a man of faith is praying in the name of Jesus Christ, he is expressing his faith in the finished work of Jesus, that God is able to fulfill the work, as Jesus said. He said to his disciples, those who believe, ask in my name. I will see to it, it is done. That's why we pray today. Divine faith is a force that moves our words to work. When this faith is expressed without any doubt, whatever it says comes to pass. This is the type of relationship God wants every human being in righteousness to have. Means able to communicate with your Creator, able to hear his word, able to walk in faith in his name, to be in the Spirit, and to walk led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus faced the wind and said, be still, and the wind was still. Jesus spoke to the raging waters, be calm, and the water were calm. Jesus spoke to sickness and disease, be healed, and healing took place. He faced a fig tree and said, no fruit will come from you. And the fig tree withered instantly. He spoke the word and the dead were raised. When John the Baptist was going through the mountain of doubt, sending his disciples to Jesus, he said, go and tell him, in Matthew chapter 11, go and tell John that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, and the dumb speak, and the dead are raised. Jesus has done what nobody else has ever done. That's why Nicodemus came, because of those miracles Jesus performed. Divine faith is God speaking through a man. Divine faith is the bridge that unites your heart with the heart of God by the living word of God. When you are praying to the Father and the Father is Spirit, it takes divine faith to speak to God. It takes divine faith to hear from God. It takes divine faith to bring the miraculous healing. When you read your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, on the powers and gifts of the Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul explained, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, healing, miracle, faith, those words are wrought by the power of faith. That's the power of faith, not faith in faith, faith from God. Divine faith expressed in the power of the Holy Spirit that brings a miracle. So when we approach God with divine faith, Jesus said, whatever you say will come to pass. Peter saw Jesus walking on the water and said to Jesus, Lord, if it is you, ask me. Matthew chapter 14, from verse 28, and I will come to the water. Jesus said, come. That is divine faith. Peter stepped out of the boat by divine faith and walked on the water, and the supernatural came. When David came to the battlefield, everybody was shivering, fear of Goliath. That young boy stepped into boldness and confronted Goliath. That is divine faith. Divine faith sees the invisible. Divine faith believes the impossible. A divine faith receives the incredible. Divine faith sees the invisible because divine faith demands a revelation of God. Divine faith believes the impossible because divine faith demands a supernatural understanding of the Holy Ghost and the will of God in your life. Divine faith receives the miracles because divine faith is wrought in the power of the Holy Spirit that brings it to pass in the people's life. Jesus wanted his disciples to witness in divine faith. He said, wait in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high, and then you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, to the end of the world. You will receive power to witness. When the Holy Ghost came at Pentecost, divine faith came. Peter, who denied Jesus 3 times, began to move in divine faith. Fear disappeared. Supernatural boldness 10. Peter spoke, mighty miracles took place because they heard the voice of God. It is possible to enter the deeper side of relationship with God today in divine faith. What is divine faith? When the revealing word of God enters your heart, it becomes spirit. And your spirit begins to act spontaneously on the revealing word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, to explain, when Jesus prayed to the Father, the scripture says no one can pray to God without the help of the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of faith we are talking about today. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. I believe that Jesus has risen from the dead as the apostle witness. I believe Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. I believe Jesus has the power to heal, to deliver, and to raise the dead. I express my faith in his ability. If I believe, led by the Holy Ghost, and I speak, it will come to pass. When we stand to pray for the sick, because that's what Jesus said we should do. When you are moved by the Spirit of God to pray for people, when we are moved by the Holy Spirit, when he gives us inspiration to pray, an expression to pray by divine faith, whatever we say comes to pass. So today, we are talking about effective prayer. It is the will of God for you to enter divine faith. If you are a child of God, if you have the Spirit of God, divine faith is set before you. Because divine faith is faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. When divine faith is leading you, you worship God in spirit and in truth. You worship in the power of the Holy Spirit. When divine faith is moving you, you will pray in the power of the Holy Ghost, spirit prayer, prayer in the power of the Holy Spirit. You will do things in spirit and in truth. That's the key of divine faith. Today, all the articles of Christian faith, prayer, worship, fasting, whatever we do, must be done in spirit and in truth. If it is not in spirit, it is not in truth. And so it's still nothing. So the promise of the Holy Ghost is there to bring that supernatural faith we are talking about. And that's the will of God for everybody to come to faith. But that faith has been revealed through Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When you have faith in Christ, you believe Jesus died for you. You believe he was buried 3 days, 3 nights. You believe in his resurrection. Resurrection is something impossible to the carnally minded person. Divine faith is the supernatural power of God, wrought by the Spirit of God, not faith from man or from man, faith from God. Now, I want to give you an example of 3 heroes of faith who Jesus taught how to enter into divine faith. Let's talk about Peter. We mentioned Peter when Jesus was walking on the water in the midst of the storm in Matthew chapter 14. Peter said to the Lord, if you are the one, ask me to come on the water. Jesus said, come. Jesus sent forth the word, and Peter stepped out to the boat in absolute faith and walked on the water. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, at the point of real movement, miracle will take place. When David stepped into the battlefield, a supernatural faith called divine faith came in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. That gift of faith is wrought by the Holy Spirit. David, in boldness, stepped out and faced a giant in the battlefield. When divine faith comes, you see the invisible. When divine faith comes, you believe the impossible. When divine faith comes, you receive the incredible. First, the invisible. It demands revelation. When Jesus stood at the grave of Lazarus, he saw beyond the body, the resurrection. When he was walking towards the cross, Jesus prophetically said what would happen to him and saw his resurrection on the third day. You see the invisible, you believe the impossible, and you receive the incredible. Means when you pray, you believe it is done and you see it happen. Faith required. You speak the word of faith because you can see and feel the result. That's what Jesus did. Peter experienced miraculous things by walking with Jesus as his disciple. But Peter never operated in divine faith every day. His faith was based on Jesus. He was walking by sight. But the day Jesus was arrested and the object of his faith, the visible Jesus, was no longer there, his faith weakened and he denied Jesus three times because the strength of his faith was no longer visible. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, he came to sanctify them, the sanctification of the Spirit, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. The Holy Ghost came to sanctify them, make them holy by the abiding presence of the Spirit of faith, Holy Ghost. He came to make them born again, to sanctify them, to confirm their faith, and to give them supernatural ability to witness for Christ. We can see in Acts chapter 3, verse 5, Peter was entering the temple at the beautiful gate and saw a man who was lamed at birth. Peter looked at him and said to him, "Silver and gold I do not have. What did he have? I have divine faith. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." And the man leapt and began to walk. That is divine faith. Peter began to operate in the dimension in which Jesus Christ operated, in the spirit and in truth. Miracle took place. Peter came and Tabitha was dead. Peter took and spoke and prayed and she came back to life. He was operating in divine faith. Now, let's see the process of divine faith. See the picture. There are two realms. Here is God's. You can see God sitting on the throne in the midst of the cherubim and angels. That's the kingdom of God. God is in heaven. Here is the earth. You see man here. In the middle is the servant of God. Let me explain. Here you see somebody praying. When you are praying here on earth, the prayer of faith, God in heaven hears your prayer. God say, "Whom will I send to this person to answer his prayers?" God will use servants here. You are the servant of God. A servant of God is somebody who is a communicator between invisible and visible world. These are the two. This is Peter. This is Ananias. This is Moses. We're going to talk about these three. God one day wanted to bring salvation to Cornelius here. But Peter, being a Jew, will never go to the house of a non-Jew person because they see them as impure in the law of Moses. God wanted to instruct Peter to go and preach the gospel to them to bring salvation. That was the will of God. So God sent a revelation to Peter here, show him a picture of different types of animals, impure animals, and say, "Peter, kill and eat." Say, "No, Lord, I've never eaten anything impure." That was revelation, but he never understood the meaning of the revelation. Divine faith demands revelation. If not, the hindrance they all have here is the mind of man. Our mind is a kind of stumbling block because we reason, human mind cannot understand the things of God. For human mind to raise the dead is an impossibility. A human mind says it is incredible for the dead to be raised. This is human being, our mind. So for divine faith to be expressed, the mind of the servant must cooperate with the revelation from the Holy Spirit here. Without an active cooperation of the mind of the servant will not be able to obey and carry out the instruction given to him from above. Let me explain. When God gave a revelation to Peter, Peter did not understand. So the mind was fighting. The mind that is not renewed is always waging war against the revelation in the heart. The heart say, "Go there." The mind say, "Ah, no, 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 I will not go there. It's not possible to do that." God will always ask us to do what is impossible for us to do. So he can teach us how to do it. How? By divine faith. Only faith pleases God. God always asks us to do what is impossible. To raise the dead is impossible to do. To heal the sick is impossible to a man. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, it is possible. Now, how God will convince Simon Peter with his limited mind frame to go to the house of Cornelius and preach the gospel? For this to happen, all the ingredients of divine faith must be fulfilled. Number one, revelation. What is revelation? It's the realization of something you never knew previously. It's from the heart of God and the mind of God. God will reveal something in his will. The will of God here is to bring salvation to the house of Cornelius. But how Peter will change his mind and go to the house of a Jew? God gave him revelation. The mind of Peter was not renewed by understanding. The mind can only be renewed at the point of spiritual understanding. That's when the Holy Ghost will come. God will give you revelation. Holy Ghost will open the eyes of your understanding. It will give you the interpretation of the dream, the interpretation of the prophecy. I mean, the Holy Ghost will speak to you in a language you can understand. We know the controversy about the speaking tongues. When you speak angelic tongues, it's revelation from God. But the mind is unfruitful because you cannot understand it without interpretation. So the Holy Ghost will come and give you the interpretation and the meaning. You can see that Joseph and Daniel was operating in this level because they have a gift of revelation and spiritual understanding. It was Joseph who was able to explain to Pharaoh in human language the meaning of the vision of the seven cows. It was Daniel who was able to express to Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of the statue he saw in the dream. So our mind always resists the truth because of misunderstanding and darkness. That's why when revelation comes, the Holy Ghost will do something different. He will help us to understand the dream. In Daniel chapter 9, the angel came and said, I'm giving you understanding of the knowledge, understanding of the revelation you receive. Many of us have read the book of Revelation. How many people understood the meaning of it? There are many parables of Jesus. Who understood the meaning of it? It takes the Holy Ghost to give you the interpretation, the divine meaning of the revelation of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 said, no prophecy of the scripture can be object of human interpretation, for led by the Holy Ghost, holy men spoke as they were led by the Spirit of God. That's why Ephesians 1:17 called the spirit of revelation, the spirit of understanding. Now, when understanding comes, the mind is renewed. We're convinced that this is true. We understand what God says. Peter could only understand in Acts chapter 10, verse 19, when the Holy Ghost said to him, I am the one that sent these people. Go. When he heard the voice of the Holy Ghost, he understood the meaning. And he went directly to the house of Cornelius and spoke, and the Holy Ghost descended. Divine faith is you are able to hear the instruction, the intimation, the suggestion from the Spirit of God, then actions should be performed. God gives you inspiration and revelation of his mind and will. And when the servant of God understands the message, he will obey and walk and apply the message and speak the word God asks him to do and to pray for the person. If God gives you instruction to pray for someone, inspiration, and you believe and you understand and conviction come that it is the will of God, you walk and obey it. When Paul received the vision, the dream from the man of Macedonia, he understood that God wanted him to go there. Convinced in his heart, he walked toward Macedonia and go and preach, and they were saved. Divine faith demands revelation of the will of God. It demands spiritual understanding and conviction of heart that this is God speaking, and real movement. Revelation, conviction, real movement. That's the three dimensions. But between revelation and belief, understanding must come. This understanding that changed the mind, that renewed the mind of the servant, not to do his will, but to surrender to the will of God. In the case of Ananias, we saw here, Paul was a wolf, we all know. But Ananias was a certain disciple. Why the Bible call him certain? Because Ananias was a person endowed with prophetic gift of dreams and revelation. So when the Lord saw Paul praying, Jesus, you choose Ananias, a certain disciple. If God give you a revelation and you have understanding and you believe and you walked in it and you see it happen, next time you have more assurance. You will not doubt anymore. When Samuel heard the revelation came, he ran to Eli. He never understood until the master said, hey, don't run to me. Next time say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Samuel understood it was God spoken to him. And that was the last time he made that mistake. He began to grow in the knowledge of God. When you hear revelation from God, when the Holy Ghost help you to understand the revelation, when conviction settle in your heart and you obey, something new come to your life. Something, trust come, the fruit of the Spirit. Why do I say belief is conviction of the heart that God is even speaking? And this is obedience, attitude. So if we explain divine faith, I can explain that divine faith is an equation. F equals B plus F. Let me explain. Divine faith is belief plus the fruit of the Spirit. What is belief? Belief means revelation should come, understanding come, and you are convinced that this is true for me. That conviction is what we call belief, an opinion formed with the Spirit. At that moment, the Word of God has fulfilled His work. Revelation, understanding, and belief. But now, belief can be dormant. You can believe something, but the act of faith means you have to move your body to obey. When the mind of a person is renewed by understanding the will of God, he will walk in obedience and real movement. And now, why the fruit of the Spirit is trust. Because you believe here what is impossible. You trust God and you receive the incredible. And now you will waver no more. The fruit of the Spirit means you trust God will do, we can have the answer. When God speaks, Abraham believed. And because of the fruit of the Spirit, he never murmured. An attitude of faith. When divine faith comes, no matter the danger, you will fear no more. Jesus knew, he believed his resurrection. And because his righteousness, he never feared. And all the fruit of the Spirit were manifested by Christ on the cross. Gentleness. When Pilate said, don't you know I can crucify you? He said to him, you won't have any power unless the Father gave you. They slap him. He said, why do you slap me? Jesus answered with forgiveness at the cross. Divine faith means not only you believe, but you have an attitude of absolute trust that God is able to fulfill his promises. When you have divine faith, you may lose everything as Job. But if you believe God as your source, you believe in his ability and resources, even though you have nothing, the fruit of the Spirit will cause you to be faithful to God forever. You will not murmur, you will believe, you will trust until the promise comes. Ananias, when Jesus wanted to visit Saul, Saul was a terrible person to everybody, but Jesus revealed that this man is my servant. God has to reveal to Ananias that this Paul is no longer a wolf, he's a minister of the gospel of Jesus. Ananias, being a man who operated by divine faith, understood the meaning of the dream. And Jesus revealed to him how he met Paul on the way to Damascus. All this he received in the dream. This means it wasn't the first time, not the second time. Being a man, a prophet, he was able to recognize this is God. Because God said, if there is a prophet, I will reveal myself to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream. So he operated by divine faith. And the next morning, he walked directly to meet the wolf and find Paul and call him Brother Saul and prayed and obeyed. Divine faith, when it is expressed in your faith, in your movement, will have God's backing for the fulfillment of the word, for the fulfillment of the vision. That's what God wants for everybody to achieve today. That's why when you pray for somebody as your witness, if the Holy Ghost leads you to pray for somebody, he will give you a word. If you obey the word, if you expect that word, the word will be fulfilled. It will never fall to the ground. It will come to pass. I want to explain something about Moses. When God revealed himself to Moses at the burning bush, God say, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Revelation came. But God said to him, go back to Egypt and get my people out of Egypt. That was impossible for a man to do. Faith sees the invisible. Faith believes the impossible and receives the incredible. What are the things that are invisible? The things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says, things that the eye of a man has not seen, the ear never heard, never entered the heart of a man, things that God revealed to those who loved him. In this case, God said to Moses, go to Egypt. And Moses said, who I am, Lord, for you to send me. God said, I will be with you. What's the meaning of that? I will be with you. My grace is sufficient for you. Mean, I will be with you to do what you cannot do. I will teach you what to say. I will teach you to speak. I will teach you the lessons of divine faith. Believe my ability and my provision are sufficient. God said to Moses, what do you have? A staff. Throw it. He threw the staff. The staff became a snake. Take it. It became a staff again. God said to Moses, stretch forth your hand. Put it in your bosom. The hand became leprous. Put it back. It became normal. Two signs. God said to him, I'm giving the third one. Take water. Throw it to the ground. And the water became blood. God gave three signs to encourage the faith of Moses, to trust in God. And Moses' mind was renewed by the miracle he saw, and he decided to go and obey it. But what God wants to his servant is to operate by divine faith. When Moses came to the presence of Pharaoh, what happened? Aaron did the signs in the beginning. But the moment Moses began to speak, miracle took place. When Moses said to Pharaoh, this night you will never see my face again, the firstborn will die. It came to pass. Moses began to experience the word of God, operating divine faith and speaking word, and it came to pass. Whatever Moses said to that plague that day came to pass. If Moses prayed, the plague stopped. If Moses speak, something happened. When they left Egypt, God said, take your staff, divide the Red Sea. Moses never complained. He hit and the Red Sea was opened. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said, I took you by the way of the wilderness. I caused you to suffer thirst and hunger and feed you with manna that your forefathers did not know, to teach you that man will not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. God said, I'm teaching you divine faith in me, divine faith in my ability, in my ways. But there is something special happened in the life of Moses. In the book of Numbers chapter 20 from verse 7. The first time God said to Moses, take your staff and hit the rock. In Exodus chapter 17. Moses hit the rock and the water came. But in Numbers chapter 20. You know, the people came at the promised land. And because of fear, they refused to enter. God said, go back to the wilderness. And they came back to the wilderness of sin. And they need water. God said to Moses, this time, speak to the rock, and the rock will give you its waters. But Moses at this moment, because of what people said, he was angry. Moses hit the rock twice, and the water came. God was not happy. God said, you did not sanctify me today in the presence of the people of Israel. The water still came out, because God's will was to give water to his people. But Moses didn't fulfill the will of God the way he wanted. God said, speak to the rock. If Moses has spoken to the rock, the water will come. It is God's word that glorifies God. It is God's word that sanctifies us. The name of God is hallowed by his word. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 17, Father, sanctify them by your word, for your word are truth. We are talking about divine faith. Divine faith comes when you listen to the living word of God, the word revealed by the Holy Spirit. That word will renew your mind at the point of understanding. That word give birth to faith in your heart. That's the word that brings salvation and miracles. So, in a nutshell, to all the believers today, when Apostle Paul said we should walk by faith, not by sight, when he said we look not at the things that are seen, but what is unseen? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. When Paul said, 2 Corinthians 4, 13, we believe and therefore we speak. Romans chapter 10, verse 6, the spirit of faith, verse 8, in our heart, in our mouth, whatever we say, believing in Christ Jesus, without doubting, led by the Holy Ghost, will come to pass. This is the secret God wants everybody to have. But this divine faith to happen, you have to develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gave birth to this divine faith. How does it come? Take the word of God. Begin to meditate on that word. When you meditate on the word of God in your heart, Holy Spirit will come and give you the spiritual meaning of the word you are reading. And the letter turned to spirit into your heart. And that's when the word became to change you spiritually. And that's the word can become the sword of the spirit deep inside of you. And when you are praying for somebody, Holy Ghost will tell you what you pray for. We have experienced it. You meet a person, God put in your heart, pray for this person. Pray for this, pray for, and God will reveal you exactly what happened to the person. If you pray according to that revelation, whatever you ask will come to pass. Romans chapter 8, 26, 27 says, we don't know what to pray for. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us in groans, in words the human being cannot speak. He intercedes to the saints according to the mind of God, according to the will of God. So right now, God wants to take us to divine faith. We allow the Spirit of God to give us inspiration. We pray to the Holy Ghost, give us the meaning, the spiritual understanding of our dreams. We pray to the Holy Ghost, prompt our heart at the point of conviction, and that's when belief comes in your heart. You say, yes, this is good for me. This is what God said. And you allow the Holy Ghost to lead you in every action. So in every step, intimation, as Prophet Jesus say, intimation, suggestion, direction come for an action to be taken by the Spirit of God. By divine faith, you walk in harmony with the revealing word of God. By divine faith, you move led by the Spirit. And when you go real movement, the power of God will come. God's power is never moved by the words of a man. It is moved by the eternal words of God, spoken by the Holy Ghost deep in your heart. If the Spirit of God gives you inspiration, He will give you expression of faith. And when you release that belief in your heart, God will bring it to pass in His own time, in His own ways. That's why divine faith is a combination of belief in your heart and the fruit of the Spirit. Mean prayer is the attitude of your heart. After you pray, you trust God, you believe, absolute trust in God, that what He said will come to pass in His own time, in His own ways, in His own season. Once you are led by this spirit of faith to pray, whatever you ask shall be given to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. So please listen to this message. Go to your Bible, read those verses, and ask Holy Ghost to guide you to understand the processing of divine faith. It demands revelation. It demands spiritual understanding of the will of God. It demands conviction of your heart. It demands a renewal of your mind. You must be convinced and convicted. It demands the leading of the Holy Ghost to act faith and to see the glory of God in your life. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Thank you.